Father, thank you that in our waking, in our sleeping, in our living, in our dying, in our loneliness and in community, you give us Jesus. In these moments, as we contemplate your word, give us Jesus. Amen. Divine being expressed in divine doing. Divine being expressed out of infinite love in making us human beings in his image. And how can we find ways to let his divine being express himself in divine doings in us? Last week we began looking at a first couple of miracles, two out of the seven in the Gospel of John, that had to do with hospitality. Lavish, miraculous hospitality, turning water into wine, taking a little boy's lunch and feeding thousands. Unbelievable stuff. Gosh, I'd love to have been there. But the same Lord Jesus is among us. I am with you always. And you know, an interesting thing about this word hospitality, I didn't have time to work this into the talk the other day, but the Greek word that's translated hospitality in those requirements where it's where leaders in 1 Timothy and Titus, when they list a catalog of things that you've got to have in your life if you're going to be a leader in the church of God, being given to hospitality is one of them. And hospitality, the Greek word literally means a lover of strangers. A lover of strangers. We want to take people like us home. People that look like us, talk like us, smell like us, sound like us. We want to treat them well because we know they'll treat us well back. But it's the people who we don't have anything in common with that God is a lover of. He doesn't look for people that are like him. He doesn't look for the righteous. He looks for those who are broken, for those who don't smell so good. He's a lover of strangers. In fact, the last part of that Greek word is that xeno, where we get our word xenophobia, a fear or a hatred of strangers. God is just wired incredibly differently than we are. A lover of strangers. So those first two miracles we considered had to do with hospitality. Now, it's not just being hospitable to those who are in your home or in the space where you are. We find the miraculous expression of divine being doing something that I like to think of as miraculous connection. Not just being hospitable, welcoming someone into your space, but actually going to them in their space and consider their space. Have you ever rode for 3 or 4 miles on a lake? Anyone? I never have, but I'm telling you, I think my arms would have been tired. And they were rowing on a stormy lake. Anyone ever rode 3 or 4 miles on a in the middle of a storm? Did you see the movie The Perfect Storm? I've just really been enjoying Jerry Borchert's commentaries on the Gospel of John, and it's so great because he's been there, he's been to these places, and I've heard him talk about them, but it also is on the pages of this book. Because he's been there, he can describe it to you, and you feel like you're in the space. And he describes this lake and describes the kind of storms that whip up there and why they do. And you end up with all kinds of white water on a relatively small lake. And that makes sense to me because my paternal grandparents had a farm in San Marcos, Texas, and the river we call Blanco runs through San Marcos. Of course, in Spanish, it's Blanco, the Blanco River. It's a white river. Why is it white? Because it whips up and you actually get white water in the Blanco. They were rowing 3 or 4 miles in very, very stormy weather. And Jerry talks in his commentary about how this is so consonant with the theophanies that are throughout the Old Testament. And the fear that gripped them when they saw Jesus walking on the water. They are encountering the divine, And what you think when you've been schooled in that culture, what you think is, if I'm seeing the divine, I'm about to die. It's about to all be over. I had a chance about a year ago to see what that would feel like when I thought that there's a chance when I go into the cath lab and they put these stents in my heart. You have to sign off on a piece of paper that you could die on the table. Is that okay? You're giving your permission for that to happen. Kent Walters had a more recent visitation of it than I did. And you figure out real quickly how you feel about passing over to the other side. Are you at peace with that or not? These guys were terrified. They did not yet have that deep peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, that deep shalom of knowing Him and knowing where they were headed. And when He reassures them, it's not with the words that I've always read in translation. I love that we're getting all these different translations because they help us get the nuances of the text. He really didn't say, "It is I." He said something, another version of, "I am." I am. He assured them by saying, "I am." When you all read the scripture, what did it say? I am here. I am here. Don't worry. I am here. Don't be afraid. I am here. Also, Jerry points out in his commentary that something else that would have happened in this construct, we've just had the feeding of the 5,000, then we have the walking on the water. When you have a food event and a water event joined together, it is just telegraphing Passover on every cylinder. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, the Passover Lamb, is being telegraphed in these miracles. He doesn't just welcome us. He actually comes to us in our storms, when our arms are tired, when we're rowing for all we're worth, when we're scared to death. He comes to us and He says, "Don't be afraid. I am here. I'm here with you when you're laid out flat in the cath lab. I'm here with you when you're terrified. I'm here with you when the checkbook is not working right. I'm here with you when the car breaks down. I'm here with you when things are going crazy in your family life. Don't worry. I'm here." And if we let Him live in us, He will do the same thing in us. "I was in prison and you came and visited me. I was naked and you covered me up. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat." And the people who have those needs, who are Christ to us, He says, the people who have those needs don't always come to us where we can welcome them into our homes. Sometimes we have to go to them. The thirsty don't always come to our door. Sometimes we have to help send or go and dig wells for clean water in faraway lands. Sometimes we have to go, as Kristen Hart is doing, and help deliver and release those who are enslaved in human trafficking. Jesus miraculously makes connection, and He wants to continue to do the same thing in us.